Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us the man, the myth, the legend, State Representative Randy Lincoln. You don't like that? I think that was pretty good.
I'm flattered.
He is with us today in the studios, and always pleased to have Randy in front of us. I think we need to tell everybody who doesn't know this what your professional career is outside of being a legislator. Tell them a little bit about you.
Well, of course, I always tell everybody first and foremost, I'm a farmer from Chester County, but I'm probably better known as a local realtor and auctioneer.
Right.
And that's what pays the bills day in and day out. And be sure to check my website, thelincolncompany.com.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. Thanks to my ads on WRHI.
Yeah, gotta go. So you've been a legislator now for, 7 years?
7 years.
My God.
This fourth term, halfway through the fourth term.
So when you compare what it was like your first year as a legislator compared to now, 7 years later, when people know who you are and da-da-da-da-da, difference between night and day?
Oh, yeah. Of course, I came in to attempt to fill the shoes, which you can't do, of Greg Delaney.
Oh, yeah.
He was there 27 and a half years. Whew. I mean, you know, Greg was... He was the man, let me tell you, and still is. And, of course, he's enjoying retirement and preaching, I think, at the ARP Church. But so coming in behind Greg, he had laid the groundwork. But it was a different world then. You know, in 2018, pre-COVID, the world changed a lot, Manning. I got to be in the last class. My freshman class, 2018, was the last class of the old gentleman legislature.
Ooh.
You know, I mean, it's just changed a lot. It's not we aren't as polite in a genteel Southern society today like we were in 2018. The world's just a little brasher. So
would you blame that on the aftermath of COVID, which I think changed the whole world, or would you change it because, or would you say that because our population has grown so much that we have all these new people in our community that ain't Southern boys?
Yeah, they ain't from here, as we say. You know, some of both. We certainly, after COVID, we had a mass exodus from the north. They moved here in waves and droves. Of course, you're not completely native to South Carolina, but you've been here a long time. But, you know, I think when I was in third grade South Carolina history, they taught me there were 2.2 million people in South Carolina. Now it's 5.4. We didn't breed up 3 million. They came here from somewhere else. and they are changing the culture of South Carolina. And, of course, I'm in the real estate business. I appreciate the money they have brought here.
Boy, they have, too. Haven't
and they have brought it, and they but they have also changed our world, and not always for the better. But it's a change, and change is inevitable, as the cliche says. You know, everything, you're changing constantly, but it is certainly a different world. The state house, the politics on the floor, of course, and also social media. I mean, in 2018, we sent out a text message to our constituents once in a while.
Now it's every minute.
Now it's every minute, and they're sending it back at me. You know, I say I get 50 to 100 texts or emails an hour. You know, I just erased 10,000 off my phone, and it's already back up this morning to 3,500. So, you know, it is hard to keep up.
Well, it's hard to keep up, and it's also, I think, in many cases, not all, to logically explain to people who don't take any time to understand a particular issue and what's going into it, the pros and the cons. It's one thing to make a point from an informed point of view. It's another to go after you when they don't know a doggone thing about what they're talking about.
Yeah, you know, they get their information from, I don't know.
The internet.
I don't know where, yeah. You know, I read it on the internet, so it must be so. You know, well, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't think that is the case. And, I'm old school. I like to do a little homework, do a little background, keep my opinion to myself until I think I have an educated opinion. That is not the case today. I could go on for hours about the stuff, some of the foolish things that I get blamed for doing or that the government gets blamed for doing every day. And of course,
Now, so you have seen how the sausage is made over 7 years.
Truly sausage, right? Yeah.
Now, be objective about this. The fact that it is the process that we go through in South Carolina, does the process make a whole lot of sense to you? And when you look at it objectively, in terms of how methodically and sometimes how long it takes to get something across the finish line?
Yes, I understand better that it takes time. You do not snap your finger instantly and get things done. I appreciate the Senate now, maybe more so than I did 7 years ago. We appreciate the fact that the Senate is going to slow it down a notch. Sometimes at the House, I'm guilty of as anybody. We think we got a great idea, and we go to pushing it through. And sometimes we can, it could stall in a House committee, but a lot of things pass the House committees, pass on the floor of the House. And then the Senate says, "Now, whoa, here, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Did you think of this?" And,
well, let's
we appreciate that.
Let's use an example of that. You were on the Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee.
Right.
And that committee got a gigantic piece of legislation across the finish line before the Senate did, and I'll just call it the Governor's Energy Bill.
Right.
Which was a significant piece of legislation.
Huge. Yeah.
That addressed exactly what you pointed out to here just a moment ago. We are now a state of 5.5 million people, and we're attracting not only a lot of individuals, but world-class industry that's got to have power. And fortunately, we have people who are looking down the road saying, we ain't got enough power for the future. We got to do something about it now.
Right.
And so this bill goes a long way in doing that. But to get it across that finish line, it took a couple of years.
And a lot of work. We appreciate the Senate worked hard, the House committee worked hard on it. Representative Gatch stepped up and headlined a lot of the legwork of having hearings for hours and hours and hours of public hearings. And, you know, the issues were huge. You've got some people that want us to have more nuclear power. Some want us to have more gas power. Some people think, oh, you can just do all this with solar power, which, unfortunately, the sun doesn't shine 24/7, and that's not a perfect plan.
And the wind don't blow all the time.
And then the wind doesn't blow all the time. And we're talking, and that's another issue that's coming up. We're talking about wind farms off the coast of South Carolina, which I'm opposed to wind farms off our coast in South Carolina. But that's another issue. But it has a clause in that bill that I always like, is all of the above. And we're not opposed to wind farms per se, somewhere done correctly. We're not opposed to solar panels. You know, I think the top of every mega warehouse ought to have solar panels on it. But I'm also, having spent 4 years on the Ag Committee, I can tell you, I think we need to be very careful about covering up our good prime farmland, because South Carolina hadn't got a lot of it, about 1 million acres. You know, our best farmland should not be covered up with solar panels when you can go right down the road and put it on the top of that Walmart warehouse. It's not bothering a soul. So, you know, that's another part of it. That went into these hearings. Like I said, this is a 2-year process. That was a lot, but let me tell you, we had a brownout situation in Christmas of 2022, I forget the year, but you know, the power started going out in Texas, and it rolled this way, and you know where it stopped? Myrtle Beach. It rolled to the coast of America, and our people in Myrtle Beach were almost in the dark for hours on Christmas Day. Some were having brownouts that night before. You know, we were that close to literally being cold on Christmas morning. I just found that ironic. And of all days to be cold, it was Christmas morning.
Now, you know, one of the pieces of this legislation that passed that I thought was really smart is there is a provision in there. I don't know who slid in there. That if you're going to make a proposal for whatever it's going to be, a solar farm, a wind farm, a gas plant, that the state of South Carolina, I'm just talking about the state of South Carolina, their governing agencies, they got 6 months. They got 6 months to say yay or nay. It's not something that can drag on for years and years and years, which a lot of these very complicated applications can do.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess we had no regulation on that.
That's right.
And it was dragging out. And, you know, the anti-whatever group, anti-nuclear, anti-solar, anti-wind, whatever, they were finding ways to kind of drag that process. So it was important that we kind of have a line in the sand. We got to get on with it here. You know, vote it up or down, but do something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I do that every day in business. You know, you're either buying or selling, make up your mind, and get on with it.
You know, the governor's nuclear advisory committee, which happens to be chaired by a Rock Hill guy by the name of Rick Lee, they have been charged with basically developing a roadmap to increase the nuclear power component of the needs that we have here in South Carolina. That's a big, big job.
Huge
job. I don't know how they're going to pull that off.
Well, Rick is a great guy and very capable, and South Carolina is lucky to have him. And we're glad we won't let Rick Lee retire. He can't retire. He has to keep working. The governor insists on his advice.
Well, I told him yesterday on the phone, I said, you know now what you had to pay back for getting that order of the Palmetto.
Yeah, that's right.
So now you gotta pay
he owes us.
Now you got to pay it back. The other thing it does, that piece of legislation, it's going to take that old coal-fired plant down wherever the heck it is, and it's going to give the state of South Carolina's green stamp to convert that thing
to gas.
And that's a joint project between Dominion and Santee Cooper.
I think they're all involved a little bit in the state, Santee Cooper, I think, primarily. And then also, you know, we also in the bill green lighted a new gas plant in Anderson.
Right.
And that's going to be a big deal. And I was also reading the other day where they were working on studying package plant size nuclear plants. I understand they're working on one in Alaska right now. If it works well up there, maybe we can get it. But the bottom line is when you shut down the V.C. Sumner plant, that was a 15-year, you know, talking about the long-term plan. That was 15 years down the road, and all of a sudden you shut it off. Well, you got a 15-year gap in our plan, so we've got to step up.
But that plant's not dead yet.
No,
it's got new light.
Again,
I'm going to credit to Rick Lee. He got in his Austin Healey and zoomed down there one day with somebody else and took a whole bunch of pictures, and everybody was shocked at what pristine condition everything was in down there.
Pleasantly surprised.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. So now you got to figure out who can we get as far as an operator to come in here and finish this project up. And I think that's the process we're in
that
right now.
That is the process. And, of course, we want the company to be, you know, some big internet company or some big computer company to write the check for that.
Yeah.
The people in the state of South Carolina, my constituents here in District 43, are not interested in paying any more taxes to bail that boondoggle out. But we, on the other hand, would like to see it not go to waste, what we have invested, and find a way to find a Wall Street firm to step up and buy it and run it and operate it.
But as you pointed out when we were talking about this a moment ago, we are all getting interconnected across the country in terms of this whole issue of electricity. So we got to get this thing done, bottom line.
It got to be done.
Yeah, and somebody's going to have to pay for it, and hopefully it'll be Amazon or whoever.
The big computer companies, they're the ones that need the server farms that burn up so much power.
Exactly. So
let them build it.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. I do not need this Redneck's cue card, but I'm going to pull it up anyway. We're going to tell everybody what the heck we do inside here. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week from 10 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And to do it right, we've got the owner of the place sticking his head out of here with a mouthful of sandwich. Are we ready at the count of three? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Introducing two new high-speed internet options. Comporium has created two new levels of service that give you access to fast, reliable internet for a remarkably low monthly price. Whether you prefer the light or the essential plan, you can do everything you want online without spending too much. Prices start at $29.94 per month for light internet, and essential internet is under $50. Both plans offer fast internet and free virus protection. Call Comporium today to sign up. 833-619-1848.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140. Or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Representative Randy Liggett is with us, a job he's had for 7 years. And were you as surprised as most of the general public was when the budget passed and all of a sudden, oops, everybody realizes there's this pretty significant pay raise in there?
Yeah, we were very, the House members were very surprised. The Senate slipped one in on us at the very last second, the 11th hour, and they gave us this pay raise, taking our, and technically not a pay raise, not a salary raise, but an expense account raise, so to speak. And it was we get $1,000 a month to cover expenses, constituent expenses, we call it. And they wanted to raise it, or they did raise it, from $1,000 to $2,500. That's a $1,500 pay raise. And I said from day one, that's not right. It's unconstitutional. You can't do it this way. We've never discussed it. We've never talked about it. It's wrong. Yes, I get it. We hadn't had a pay raise in 30 years, and maybe we deserve a little pay raise. But do we deserve a $1,500 pay raise? That's
a month.
$18,000 a year, and there's been no discussion. And then, and the worst part is, Manny, it was to take effect immediately. If I had voted on it to take effect, you know, for the next guy or the next session, which would be, what, 26, you know, that's one thing. That's voting for somebody else to get the pay raise. But to put me in a box to make me vote for myself to get a pay raise, I was completely opposed to that. And as it turned out, the way the way they wove it into the budget at the last second, you know, they put me in the box where I was going to have to vote against the $6 million pay raise we gave to police officers, the $1,500 base pay raise on a teacher's salary. You know, we've been trying to meet the governor's goal to get our teachers to $50,000. So they wove it in there with that. $200 million extra for roads and rural water and sewer districts. $50 million to hold college costs down. So they slipped my little $18,000 in there and didn't tell me or anybody else. And so I did what I thought was right, which was I voted for the teachers. I voted for the police officers. I voted for the firemen and the first responders. I voted to keep the roads construction crews going. And I voted, you know, to keep college costs down. And I immediately turned around and signed a statement saying, do not send the pay raise to me. It's not been done right. And frankly, I think it's unconstitutional. Senator Clymer has even filed a suit, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think it's wrong.
So, I don't know how the budget process totally works. But the governor has an opportunity to line item veto stuff. Can he axe that thing?
He could, but he decided this is our mess. We stepped in it, and he's going to leave it to us to figure out. So you know, I think we were all hoping the governor was going to bail us out on this, and he said, no, you boys put yourself in that mess. Y'all figure it out. So here we are.
Here we are.
Of course, a lot of people are happy about it, and but I'm not. I just think the process is wrong.
Well, I give kudos to the entire delegation from York County. Everybody's saying what you're saying up here.
Yeah.
They're all saying, we don't want it. Take it back. You mentioned Clymer is taking this thing to court. There is a process. Nobody, me personally, I don't object to the increase, but I do, like you just pointed out, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
You don't vote it for yourself without the voters knowing what's going on.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy.
It should not have happened. And, you know.
But it did.
I was shocked.
Oh, my.
When I thought, when it showed up, and I said, no, that's not the way to do that.
All right. Well, we'll see how that's going to play out.
Yeah.
The other thing that I know you have been, you are really the only local, I should take that back. Dennis Moss would probably slap me in the face, but I don't get a chance to talk to Dennis Moss too often. But you're the only local legislator who really has an agrarian background. You're a farmer.
Yeah.
Or you used to be a farmer. Yeah. You got somebody else doing it now.
I still got cows.
Oh,
they,
I know you
my
do.
Cows get out like everybody else's.
Do you chase them or do you get somebody else to chase them?
Trust me, I get the phone call in the middle of the night. It's always my cow. Even if it's really not my cow, if they see a cow within miles of my house, I get the call.
Oh, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that is.
All right. But you have been very supportive over the years of anything we can do to promote the agricultural world to particularly the very urbanized part of the county.
Yeah.
And after God knows how many decades, and I do mean decades.
Yeah, well, since we lost the fairground.
Lost the fairground, which oddly enough has something down there this weekend. I don't know what the heck it is. But when we lost we lost the fairground. We had no place for particularly the kids to do what they did. Yeah. And now we see the groundbreaking that took place here this past week for the Western New York County Agriculture Center.
Yeah. You know, it's time has come, it's past due. We should have done it a long time ago. You know, I'm a big supporter of 4-H and FFA. I came through the ranks of 4-H, you know, but let me tell you, as I remind people every time I get a chance to talk to farmers or to public, 98% of us eat, 2% of us do the work and feed America, 2%. And let me tell you, if we lose those 2%, there won't be any subs and salads here.
I don't think most people, particularly here in New York County, realize how many farms we actually have.
Oh, yeah.
Here, we got
York
a bunch
County's
of them.
Still a very agrarian county, and, of course, I represent Chester and York counties, and Chester County the same way. You know, we have some very large farms that produce a lot of produce. And we've got to raise the next generation and get them to come along. And one way you do that is with 4-H Club events and fairs and, you know, the old county fair concept. We desperately need a place to do that. I appreciate Dennis Moss, Representative Moss from Owen Gaffney, helping us, you know, get the money. What did we do? $4 million, I think, or $6 million?
It was $5 million, something like that.
Yeah, almost $6 million. That's
about
what it was.
About five and a half?
Almost $6 million the state is putting up. You know, there's your taxpayer money coming back to the district. So, you know, we're all in favor of getting that back here. And, of course,
the school district's cooperating and providing the land.
We're trying to be cooperative and pool our money and not have, you know, too many. We don't need five fairgrounds.
No.
We need one good one.
Right.
And it sounds like we're well on our way. I think we are. It's a really nice facility. I've seen the plans. And, you know, we're all looking forward to seeing young people enjoy the fairgrounds.
Well, you take that, and then you look at what the state approved here a couple of years ago to Clemson to create that veterinarian school up there. That is going to – we've got that gentleman coming down here the next few weeks, the director of this. He's been given a blank sheet of paper.
He really has.
You all have funded the money, and they're building this veterinarian school.
The Senator Peeler Veterinary School, we all wish it had been there 40 years ago. But we need young people to go to Clemson and go to the vet school. They can go get an undergraduate at USC or Winthrop in chemistry and biology.
Oh, yeah.
But they can still go to Clemson and be a vet. But we need to raise young people to take an interest in agriculture, and this Ag Center will be a big part of that.
Well, Colonel, we have exhausted our time together. It's been a very interesting discussion.
Great, yeah.
Thank you very much for being here. Jumping in when you escaped the golf cart law, so you're okay on that.
Oh, okay.
Bottom line is you passed the golf cart law, but it's up to each of the municipalities to figure out what they're going to do with it.
Be careful.
Be careful.
Driving at
that's
night
the bottom
with
line.
The golf cart.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, this show, of course, is called Straight Talk. It originates live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and, of course, by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. What we do here at Substation 2 is just pure magic. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters. I see a silhouette of the doctor over there. He's ready. He's got his bag of chips in his mouth. Are you ready over there? Okay, get those chips swallowed down. Here we go. At the count of three, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.